public lecture for our series, Contemporary History and the Future of Memory. We've had Isban Rev from Central European University, our first speaker, and we've had Francois Leonet from UCLA before, and Gaurav Vishwanathan is our final speaker, and this will culminate with a symposium on the 9th of April in the same venue, so please feel free to mark that date down. It's a great honor to welcome Gaurav Vishwanathan, class of 1933 professor of English and Comparative Literature at Columbia. Over the last two decades, she has provided radical histories for some of the disciplines most central to our lives, those we inhabit with the ease of breathing, without realizing that the stories of their origin can be drastically different from the way they are practiced today. It's the much-needed caveat to the future of our memory, about institutions and disciplines, about spiritual as well as intellectual discourses. Her first book, Masks of Conquest, published in 1989, reveals the very origins of her discipline, English studies, as implicated in exercise of economic and political power, specifically that of colonialism. The institution of English studies in this analysis goes further back in the past beyond the canonical story of F.R. Leavis and Cambridge to be traced overseas in British colonial rule in South Asia. English literature, she shows, gets established as a discipline in India in order to create and sustain an ideological environment which can mask the political and economic exploitation of colonialism. This book immediately established Professor Vishwanathan as an insightful scholar of colonial modernity who is able to read the political significance of institutions and discourses not usually linked to the plane of the political. In her second book, Outside the Fort, published in 1998, she directs this skill to another crucial process that is ordinarily seen as distant from the worldly, that of religious conversion. She unmoors conversion from its usual sphere of the transcendental and shows it as a process that destabilizes the political life of the community and the nation state. In her most recent work, some of which we read today in the morning's workshop, many of these extraordinarily rich interests have seemed to come together, leading to a questioning of the established wisdom about the secular origins of literary modernity. She critiques the secularization thesis behind the evolution of modern literary and critical consciousness, crucially arguing that, and I quote, the primary rupture is not between reason and religion, but rather between belief and imagination. Throughout her career so far, this remarkably erudite scholar has embodied the spirit of self-reflection that seems so urgent today, not only to the disciplines with which we work, but in the larger public sphere within which we live. Looking into the future of memory, we can now say for certain that a history of our most central discourses and disciplines will not be complete without her radically worldly insights. No better person, therefore, to conclude our series this year. Please welcome Gaurav Vishwanathan.
Thank you so much, Shekhat, for this very generous introduction, and for inviting me in the first place. It was really a pleasure meeting some of you this morning, and those who were there at the colloquium may see some continuity between this morning's discussion and what I'm going to talk about today. Shekhat mentioned that I do some self-reflection, and that self-reflection generally extends towards the kinds of work we do within our disciplines. And I have been revisiting some of the ideas I'd been working with when I wrote my book on conversion, and I've been extending the thought about the historical conversions, particularly in around the 19th and 20th centuries, around the time of modern nationalism, but looking at conversion perhaps more reflexively by connecting it with some of the so-called esoteric histories that I've also been studying. And those of you who were there this morning, I know that I have been very interested in the study of theosophy, the Theosophical Society, and in general with the study of alternative religious movements. And I've been most interested in trying to write about secularism from a perspective that takes into account the histories of what came to be known as fragments that do not get integrated into world religions. And so the way in which I've been trying to get into that material is by working with the concept of the secret and secrecy. And so I begin with an unlikely starting point for probing the complexities of crypto-conversion, that is, Derrida's musings on religion and secrecy, and their implications for a broader understanding of the stakes of religious conversion. The gift of death, which I'm sure many of you are familiar with, it's a work which closely follows the human rights activist Jan Patočka's aptly titled Heretical Essays on the Philosophy of History, is Derrida's most sustained meditation on religion, and specifically on crypto-conversion. Among the most striking features of his argument is an insistence on the idea of the secret as key to the dynamic process of conversion. Derrida views conversion not as a movement between religions, but rather the subordination of one mystery to another. In a neat progression of religious forms, each embedded in its successor, orgiastic mystery, as Derrida terms it, is subsumed by Platonic mystery, which in turn is superseded and incorporated by Christian mystery. Again, following from Patočka, Derrida finds that conversion retains whatever it displaces in the form of a secret, which persists at the core of religious transformation as an enduring reminder of earlier religious forms and mysteries. In his near obsession with the notion of the secret in his writings on religion, Derrida uncannily evokes a predecessor with whom he has rarely, if at all, been compared, Helena Petrovna Blavatsky. As I will argue in this paper, Blavatsky's occult